That's the theme tune from The Good Life, remember that? As you'll know, The Good Life told the story of Tom and Barbara Good and their attempts to eke out a self-sufficient lifestyle on a suburban farm. I remember one episode when Margot, remember Margot?
I love Margot.
Margot Ledbetter. She from next door sought help from the local residents association to stop Tom and Barbara raising pigs. And more people in Ireland, we're told, are now raising pigs in their back gardens. And last Thursday, we spoke to Niall Crimmin from Rathfarnham, who's about to set off on his own brave new venture. Niall wants to rear a pig for slaughter. He admits he doesn't know a lot about pigs and he definitely doesn't want a pet.
I wouldn't name it or anything. Its purpose would be to supply meat, and that's to feed me at the end of the day.
Do you know anything about maybe the best breed of pig to get?
I wouldn't know too much about breed of pigs, how to care for them and stuff.
Are you genuinely serious about this?
At the start, I was only kind of messing with just a bit of a joke that I had. I was threatening my mum and dad, oh yeah, I'm going to get a pig and stuff. But as I've thought about it more and kind of looked into it, I think I can manage it. I'd definitely look into it.
So that was Niall. Brenda also spoke to Niall's mum, Mary, who seemed enthusiastic about the project. This is what she had to say.
We have three dogs, as it is. You need a licence for a dog. I don't imagine you need a licence to keep a pig. They're quite clean animals. They're not very noisy. They're easily fed. We have our own business. We're in the food business, and there's a lot of waste. And the only thing pigs don't eat is citrus fruits. They won't eat oranges, lemons, anything like that. So we could feed them on the food that's wasted in the business.
Well, needless to say, we had a big reaction to Niall's plans. Some of you told us that the pig was going to turn their garden into a mud bath. Others said he needed to get a herd number, even with just one single pig, we wondered. A listener, Maureen, who works with an animal rescue organisation in Sligo, said she was shocked that we brought up the topic at all. Well, the reason we did the item is because, as I said, there is a growing number of people in this country rearing their own pigs, some for slaughter. And by all accounts, pigs are curious and loyal creatures, and I'm told they make great pets. However, it is not as simple as going to the market to buy a fat pig. Gerard McCutcheon is Pig Development Officer. Yes, Pig Development Officer with the Agricultural and Food Development Authority, Chagask. And he has for over 20 years been advising farmers on how to raise pigs, and he's going to give us some of his worldly wisdom today. Gerard, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming up.
And thank you
very
much.
Where are you guys based?
I'm based in Chagask in Oak Park in Carlow.
Okay, so how was the roads? Were they okay coming up?
The roads were very good now coming up. It seems to have got worse since I got closer to Dublin. So.
Okay, well, hope you'll be able to get back. Were you decentralised or were you always down there?
I was always down there.
You're always down there. Okay, anyway, listen, it's lovely to meet you. Thank you very much. Let's address some of the issues there. First of all, Maureen, the animal rescue organisation, in fairness to her, she's shocked and probably a little bit annoyed with us as well. But at any rate, I didn't think there was any law against keeping a pig in your back garden, is there?
No, there isn't. But the listener that rang in to say that you need a pig number, you do actually need a pig herd number to own or keep a pig or to trade in pigs. And that includes having a pet pig.
A single pig?
A single pet pig, a Vietnamese potbelly pig that you have as a pet, you still need to have a pig herd number.
Now, will you explain exactly what a pig herd number is?
Yeah, there is, under the rules and regulations of the country, there's the National Pig Identification and Tracing System that was brought in 2002. And the reason for that was that after the foot and mouth disease problems in 2001, the veterinary section of the Department of Agriculture brought in rules and regulations that they would be in a position to identify every farm and every house or holding that had a pig on it in the event of ever a notifiable disease like foot and mouth ever arising again. And that if such a disease ever did arise again, the department, the veterinary section of the Department of Agriculture, would be able to identify all of the holdings where pigs were and take the necessary actions to restrict movement and try and contain the disease, as we did in 2000.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yes, yeah.
Now, you need a licence for your dog, as Mary was saying.
Yes.
But she did say something that struck a chord with me, certainly. I remember as a child growing up, just down the road here, by the way, we would leave out our slops into the slop bucket. The slop man, in inverted commas, would come around with his car and his trailer behind him, and he'd have all these big barrels, and he would throw all the slops, and then he would go off to the pig farm, and he'd feed them the slops. Mm. Now, I'm sure we were very careful about what we put into the slop bucket. I'm sure it was kind of potato peels and all sorts of bits and pieces of, let's say, organic matter, no meats and all that kind of stuff. So What's the story? Did we feed it the right thing? I don't remember foot and mouth then. I don't remember dying of eating a sausage then.
No. Well, you see, the outbreak of foot and mouth was traced back to feeding catering waste to pigs. And that's essentially what happened. Now, foot and mouth disease, we can remember from 2001, particularly in the UK, where we had the devastating scenes of animals being piled high where they'd been slaughtered on farms. And the big problem with the notifiable disease, such as foot and mouth, is that it spreads like wildfire. Mm. Foot and mouth affects cattle, it affects sheep, it affects pigs, it affects goats, all of the cloven hoofed animals. And it is devastating in its effect if it gets into a herd. So the Department of Agriculture brought in various rules and regulations in terms of the feeding you talk about catering waste or otherwise. There are rules there that it has to be treated in a certain manner. So you're a man who took away...
No, I'm going back when I was a kid now, yes. So that's 30 years ago, maybe more.
Yeah, but at that stage he may have had to cook it to certain temperatures and to for certain periods of time, and all the rules and regulations are there. The risk
you think
is
he did? What do you think happened 30 years ago?
Well, I don't know, but I
like, I'd love to know what really happened. I mean, if you were the slop man who collected the slops around the Donnybrook area, get in touch with us. I'd love to know what happened. But anyway, suppose how do you treat it?
Well, foot and mouth, the big problem was you just culled all of the animals.
No, how do you treat the waste food before you give it, if you convert it common as waste food? Now,
the regulation is the Swill Order, statutory instrument 597 of 2001, and essentially you cook it for certain periods of time. The risk factor with all of this is that if you have meat products in the catering waste, feeding that to animals can... cause problems like foot and mouth or other notifiable diseases.
We don't eat animals that eat meat, really, do we? You think about it.
We don't, no.
Now, I know that in some parts of the world they do eat dog, but, I mean, generally speaking, humans don't eat animals that eat meat.
We don't really. I mean, meat and bone meal has been taken out of pig diets because of the BSE situation. There has been sort of talk to bring that back in. It was a very good protein source for animals, and it was a treated protein source that was suitable for animals, let's say. But that is no longer available.
So what would you feed a pig if you had a pig in your back garden? What would you recommend to people to feed them?
Well, the standard, and I suppose I'm dealing with more of the commercial indoor producers, the standard diet would be barley, wheat, soya, mixed up and blended then with minerals and vitamins that are suitable for that size of pig. As the pig gets older, you reduce the level of protein that it requires because its feed intake, its ability to eat feed increases.
So now Niall is thinking of keeping this pig for about 12 months or thereabouts and then slaughtering it. I mean, at what stage do they get slaughtered?
It depends. I suppose the first thing you should do is actually decide how and where it's going to be slaughtered, because not everywhere will slaughter.
He couldn't
pigs.
Do it in his backyard, for example. No, in his garden. He couldn't do it out in the street.
You can only, there are licensed sites for slaughtering, licensed premises for slaughtering of pigs, and they can all be identified on the Department of Agriculture website, www.agriculture.ie. And they'd say that would be his first port of call, to talk maybe to his local butcher, and they would probably have an idea of where the local pigs can be killed. But having done that, he needs to decide, well, what weight of pig is he going to have slaughtered, and what weight of pig is he bringing into his farm? But before he does anything,
well, his garden, his farm,
his little suburban garden.
It's great,
garden,
yeah.
And the other point in that was that he's a compost heap there, which again he'd have to be careful about if there was any food waste going in there.
So he may segregate that area.
He needs to segregate.
How much space do they need? Is it a bit unkind and cruel to keep them in kind of small confined spaces?
Well,
that's a very hard question for you. You're dealing with pig farmers.
I'm dealing with pig farmers, and I suppose in an indoor situation, you're dealing with a controlled environment where the temperatures are controlled, the areas, I suppose, are controlled as well. In an outdoor situation, pigs like to roam, they like to root, and they enjoy doing so. So you can give them as much space as you want.
So they're going to dig up his garden for sure?
They will dig up his garden very pleasantly. Yeah.
And they do like wallowing in the mud?
They do, because pigs are like dogs. They don't have any sweat glands, so they can't sweat.
So it helps them cool down, doesn't it?
The only way they can cool down is lie in mud. They can pant, but lying in and wallowing in mud does help.
And it gets rid of some of the parasites as well.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Jared, thank you very much indeed for coming in. Food for thought, so to speak, and we really do appreciate it, but there is no law against it. If he gets a heart number, he's entitled. Can neighbours raise objections or anything like that?
I don't believe so, no. I once he has a pig heart number and he's looking after the pig, I would certainly say to him he should feed the pig maybe a standard diet.
Yeah.
The Chagas website would have details of the typical diets that are fed to pigs, and that's www.chagas.ie.
And I suppose learn as much as he can about pig husbandry before taking on a pig in the first place.
Absolutely.
You know, look after the pig. You're going to eat it eventually, but that doesn't mean you can be cruel to it in the intervening period.
Absolutely.
Jared, thank you very much indeed.